I want to read to you four verses, and then we'll talk about them here just in a minute. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the church is in its infancy. Christ has been gone just a few years, and persecution has come on the church. And so this passage is in that context. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterns of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." After Easter. Before we look at this, will you stand and greet those around you and tell them, "That's a very nice outfit you have on. I thought about buying it, but it looks better on you, and I'm glad I did." We are celebrating Easter this morning. And for the Christian, really, the whole week of Passion is a time of celebrating the victory that Jesus Christ has done on the cross and then in the grave. And what we have with Jesus is victory over sin at the cross. The Bible says that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And when you think of piercing, that's something that happens outwardly. Bruising is something that happens inwardly. And so what happened at the cross, Jesus was crucified for our outward transgressions, our outward sins, and also for the inner iniquity. In other words, it was a complete cleansing that is available to you and I on the cross. Outward sins, yes, but also inward iniquity, the inward things that produce the outward sins. Jesus Christ went to the cross, lived the life we should have lived, a sinless life, and died the death that we should have died because of our rebellion against God. So on the cross, he conquered sin. And for you who are here today, for me, confession of sin, asking him to forgive us of sin, looking at Calvary and saying, "Let that cross, let the sacrifice on Calvary be for me," can give us victory over the sins in our life. But it didn't stop there with Jesus, because the Bible says that not only did he intend to defeat sin, he also intended to defeat death. So crucified early Friday morning, he was resurrected on early Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose victorious over the dark domain, and he reigns forever with the saints today. He arose, hallelujah, Christ rose. So he comes out of the grave, he rises, and that is victory over death, not only sin, but death. And those are the two great enemies that I face and that you face as well. And praise the Lord, we have an empty tomb. We also have an empty cross to celebrate this morning. And that's why Easter is a high time in the church. It's a high time in our culture. It's something that we go through great lengths to celebrate. Maybe, again, you're here for the very first time and somebody invited you and they said, "Just wear whatever you want to wear. It doesn't matter, jeans, t-shirt, whatever." And you took them at their word and you show up and everybody's decked out. Come back next week. They won't be decked out. Be fine. They'll be back in jeans and t-shirts. But it's Easter and people sort of celebrate Easter. I even got my burying suit on today. That's important. My burying and marrying suit, I broke out of the back closet today. That's what Easter is about. And some of you today will be eating with family and celebrating, and you'll be eating and dining in ways you didn't dine on Friday afternoon. And there might be some Easter egg hunts today if you haven't already done some Easter egg hunts. And when you drive home this evening, perhaps from your family's house, it may feel like all is well with the world. You may say, you know what, life is good. We got dressed up, maybe even had a family picture, if you can get all the kids to look in the same direction for 2 seconds. And we enjoyed the family, and we celebrated, and thank God Jesus arose, and that's important. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to bum you out on Easter, but you know what the Monday after Easter is called? Monday. A Monday. And Monday's coming. On Facebook, people have said Friday is here, but Sunday's coming. Well, I'm here to tell you Sunday's here and Monday's coming. And the problem with Monday is that if you think Easter fixed anything in your life, you're going to find out on Monday it didn't. Just being here today, spending time with your family, maybe later eating a nice meal, you're going to find that on Monday, it's just another Monday. It didn't fix anything. There are two things that I'm going to face tomorrow morning, and there's one thing that I can have when I face those two things tomorrow morning. And I want to use the passage that we read to point that out. Here's the Apostle Peter. He is serving the Lord. He's doing what's right. But Herod wants to impress the Jews, and he throws him in prison, and he's going to try him, and he intends on killing him. However, Herod says, you know, I don't want to get everybody inflamed. I don't want to do that. I mean, the Jews are gathered together celebrating the Passover. The Christians are gathered together celebrating Easter. If I do something with Peter, it might, you know, create a riot because they're all together, and it's easy to riot when they're all together. But you know what I'll do? I'll wait till after Easter. I'll wait till after Easter. And everybody's got Peter's problem in one way or another. It's Easter today, but after Easter is coming. And after Easter, Peter had an enemy that was seeking to destroy him. It was Herod, but Herod was doing the work of a larger henchman named Satan. And you and I, after Easter, are going to have that same problem that Peter had. He had the problem of having an enemy out to destroy him, plotting against him. And you and I have that same problem early Monday morning. It's coming. It's coming. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who we think we're fighting is really not who we're fighting. We all have an enemy. We're all in a wrestling match. We're wrestling against somebody that's good, that Jesus told us 2 dozen times was out to destroy us. And his name is Satan. We call him the devil. Everybody, Monday morning, and even right now, is going to have to fight and wrestle the devil. We believe that behind evil in this world is intellect. Behind evil is organization. And that's why, by the way, it's so hard oftentimes to break the bonds of sin by ourselves. I mean, how many times have you said, I know I've said it, how many times have you said, I'll never do that again? And you find you do it again. Why is it that things like pride and power and materialism and lust, why is it that they seem to have a power and a force that at times you almost can't seem to resist? You say, well, that's because of me. That's partially because of you. That's also because there's an intellect behind all of that. Why is it that you'll raise your kid as best you know how? You'll raise them to know the Lord. You'll teach them the difference in right and wrong. And sometimes that kid can go off the deep end and you say, how in the world did that happen? I'll tell you why that happened. There's a devil in the world. That's how that happened. And he doesn't just seek to lure us away. He seeks to destroy us. Peter said he's looking around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. All of us have to reckon with the enemy. Behind the temptation, there's a tempter. Behind the lie, there's a liar. Behind the destruction, there's a destroyer. And we have to reckon with him. We used to sing a song as kids, or maybe many of you did. 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. 4, 5, 6, he's always throwing sticks. 7, 8, 9, he misses every time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. It's a crock, it's not true. I mean, the first part's true. He is after you. He is out to destroy us. Jesus said that he was. But he's not throwing sticks. He's throwing pain. He's throwing problems. He's throwing temptations in our way. And unfortunately, he doesn't always miss. Sometimes he hits us right between the eyes. Sometimes he knocks us to our knees. And Peter had the devil to deal with after Easter. And you and I have an enemy. We have a devil to deal with after Easter. Not only did Peter have a devil to deal with, he had drama to deal with. Not only did he have an enemy, but he had problems. He had a persecutor and he had a problem. He had a tempter and he had some trials. Now, Peter eventually gets out of jail here, but you know what happens when Peter gets out of jail? He gets right back in jail sooner or later. And that's life. He's got drama. If the disciples thought that Jesus Christ rising from the dead was going to rid them of problems and drama and trials in life, they were surely mistaken. Life was just as difficult after the resurrection as it was before the resurrection. After Easter was just as rough as before Easter for those disciples. And that's life. That's Monday morning. That's tomorrow for you and I. I am embarrassed to tell you all the times in my life I thought I turned a chapter and I said, boy, it's going to be easier here on in. I remember when I graduated high school and I thought, boy, life's getting easy. Now high school is really hard. And I go to college. College will be easy compared to high school. And I got out of college. That wasn't true. And I thought, you know what? Getting into the workforce will be easier than school. I mean, how dumb was that? And then I got married, and I said, well, that'll be easier than being single. And to some degree, it was until the kids come. And then life gets really, really hard. Now, I saw the kids coming. I knew that was going to be hard. But I'll tell you, there are days when I say to myself, man, it's hard having 4 kids under the age of 9, but when they get to be teenagers, it'll... And then I catch myself and say, no, the witness of humanity is not getting any easier. And then sometimes I'll sit there and I'll say, you know what, this is tough, but the kids will be raised one day, and I'll be retired, and I'll get to travel. And then I remember what older folks say. They say, yeah, you'll get to travel, all right. You'll get to go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. You get to go to the cardiologist, the proctologist, the osteoporosis guy. You'll get to travel, yeah. And the point is that you just never turn the bend. You just never get out of the weeds of life. Dr. Benjamin Rush is one of the most famous physicians in the history of America. He's not well known now because he lived many, many years ago. But he was one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence. And he was the Surgeon General of George Washington's army. He founded a couple colleges after he was in politics. And he was one of the first psychiatrists in America. But his life changed significantly in his 40s because he had a dream. He dreamed he was standing on a street in Philadelphia, and there was a church there, and on top of the church was a man with his arms and legs wrapped around the weather vane. And the man believed that he could control the weather by controlling the weather vane. And he would yell for the wind to blow to the north, and north would, and the wind would blow to the west. He yelled for the sun to come out, and it began to rain. Dr. Benjamin Rush watched that comical scene where the man thought that he had the control that he did not have. And then an angel flew down from the sky and handed Dr. Rush a letter in the dream. And it said, "This is a story about you." And it changed his life. We can't control the weather. We can't control the circumstances that come into our life. We have very little control. There's some things that we have some control over, but we never have complete control on how our lives are going to work out. We can't beat the problems back. They're there. They come. We have a tempter, and we have trials that come into our lives. And it doesn't matter how wonderful your life is starting out, you can't stop the troubles from coming. I read an interview just a couple weeks ago from Ruth Graham, who is a daughter of the evangelist Billy Graham. And she had a perfect childhood, had a godly mother, and they had the resources to raise their kids well, and a godly father. She had as close to a perfect childhood as probably anybody could have. But she said that she, in her middle years, would sit on a church pew. And she said, "I was in a very dark, deep depression. And people would ask me how I was doing, and I would say, I'm doing fine. But," she said, "the man that I loved, that I had been married to for 18 years, was having an affair on me." And she said, "I was in a deep, dark place." She said, "After one service, I was so dark, I went home after that Sunday morning, and I began to look all over the house for a razor blade to kill myself." She did not kill herself. But that's life. You can get into a deep, deep, dark place. I know Job was in a dark place, but Job, I think, said something that was true of all of us. He said, "A man born of woman, his days are short and filled with trouble." And that's oftentimes what we find out, and I think even more than oftentimes, I think that's what we, in the end, always find out if we live long enough. And Peter had that issue. He had, after Easter, Easter didn't fix the fact that he had an enemy. It didn't fix the fact that he had trials to go through. But I'll tell you what Easter did do for Peter. It gave him someone to go with him in the trials, a deliverer. Being here doesn't fix anything in your life. It just doesn't. Meeting Jesus Christ can do something in your life. It's not going to remove the enemy. He's still going to be there. It's not going to remove the problems that are destined to come our way just around the bend. Something's coming. A health problem is coming. A relationship problem is coming. Financial situations are coming. Something's coming around the bend. And we can't control what's coming around the bend, but we do have control in who we face the problems with. We can't stop the problems from coming, but we can control who we face the problems with. That's in our power. And what Peter had was Jesus Christ, who ended up being a deliverer for him. Because what happens is Peter's in jail, and an angel is sent into that jail. Peter is chained to two guards. There's two guarding the door. The angel comes in, takes the chains off of Peter's arms, brings him out of that prison, and he is set free. He delivers him. Only God could have delivered Peter. That was a situation that only God could bring a person out of. And I want to tell you something. There are some things in my life and in your life that only God is going to fix. I'm not going to be able to fix it. I won't be able to deliver myself. If you're in a marriage today that is a problem marriage, I want to tell you something. You're not going to be able to fix it yourself, because hearts have to change. Jesus Christ said there's only really one reason why any marriage is bad, and that is somebody let their heart get hard. Jesus Christ says the only cause of divorce is hardness of heart, and we can't change our heart. That's something that God has to do. We can't change decades of behavioral patterns in our life. Things we've done our whole lives, things that have become habits, things that have become addictions. We need a deliverer to help us. We can't just say, I'm not going to think about what happened to me back there. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm never thinking about what they did to me again. Good luck with that. We can't unload our guilt like you unload a dump truck. You just can't say, I'm not going to feel guilty anymore. You can't just say, I'm never going to get depressed again in my life. You can't do that. You need a deliverer, and there are things that will never happen in your life if Jesus Christ doesn't deliver you from that. Now, he can do that. And he often delivers us. And I believe that he always will make a way out of temptation. I believe he will always break the power of temptation in our life. I believe he will always lick the devil for us if we'll let him. But there are other situations that we face that we're going to have to wait for him to deliver us at the end of time. He'll deliver us now, or he'll deliver us then. But look what Peter said. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at that. He says, whatever I'm in, if he don't deliver me, I still got a hope. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, here in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, period. This is what Peter's saying. He's saying, I've been delivered. There have been days when I've been delivered. I got delivered out of the jail. There have been times when the Lord just opened the gates for me and I walked right out. But there have been other times when I have had various trials come into my life. And I have been grieved by various trials. But even when I have been grieved by various trials, you know what? I have a hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that any trial that I've been in is a temporary trial. Anything that I'm facing is a temporary situation because I have an inheritance to come. I have heaven to gain. And so whatever I'm going through, if I'm delivered instantly or if I'm delivered in the end, I still have a hope. I'm not defeated. I'm not destroyed. And you and I can have that today. Dave, you can take those scriptures off. I'll leave the last three. You may say today, you know what? I'm struggling. My life's a problem. I haven't succeeded like I hope to succeed. That's okay. You have an inheritance in heaven. It's a temporary situation. You may say, you know what? I've been wronged in life. People have done a lot of bad things to me. That's okay. It's not okay that they've done some bad things to you. Let me put it that way. But I'm telling you, God is coming back. He's sending Jesus, and Jesus is going to judge the quick and the dead. And in the end, all the books are going to be clean. Justice is going to be meted out. Vengeance is his, saith the Lord. In the end, you're not going to be denied justice. You're not. You may say, you know what? I'm not loved. I wish people loved me. Listen to me. You have a Jesus who died for you, who's gone to prepare a place for you. You're going to feel loved for eternity. Just hold on. You'll be delivered from the place that you're in right now. Believe me. Jesus Christ can deliver you. He can elevate you. He can lift us up. But listen. You're never going to get rid of the enemy. You're not. You may feel good today, but tomorrow's coming. You're never going to get rid of the enemy. You're never going to get rid of the problems. What you need is a deliverer named Jesus Christ. Nothing will change today about being at church. You'll feel a little less guilty on the drive home, but that's all. Monday's coming. But if you would encounter Jesus Christ, if you have Jesus Christ with you, delivering you now or giving you the hope of deliverance in the future, you can face tomorrow. Tomorrow can be different. There's a lady in this church that I talked to last week, and she's a wonderful Christian person. and you wouldn't know what she's been through by looking at her. She was talking to me very recently. She has had, she went through a period, and I took it as a couple of years, where she lost six deaths that significantly affected her. Six deaths of people close to her, including her parents. And during that time, she was diagnosed with cancer. And so not only is she going from funeral to funeral, but she was diagnosed with cancer. And if you saw her today, you would be amazed at her vitality. But she looked at me and she said, I could have never got through it without Jesus. Amen. Could never got through without Jesus. You need Jesus. Easter doesn't do anything unless you have an encounter with the risen Savior. If you have an encounter with the risen Savior, Easter will change your life. Change your life. Will you stand with me? I've told this before here, but when we dropped my oldest girl off at kindergarten, we were parents that were worried and were wiping tears, trying to be brave and that kind of thing. And we took Ava to kindergarten. She goes into the classroom, and she goes over and immediately starts to play. And I'm standing in the doorway, and Jenny's getting her sorted out. And there's this little blonde-headed girl sitting right here. And I said, so how's your first day of kindergarten going? And she looked at me, and she did this. She said, I'm not doing well. Maybe today you're not doing well. You say, Pastor, I don't have to wait till after Easter to have a devil and a drama. I got it now. I mean, I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm struggling. I'm worried. I have the concerns of life on me, and they're heavy to bear. You know why they're heavy for you to bear? Because you weren't meant to bear them alone. Jesus said, cast all your cares on me. He cares for you. You weren't meant to carry life alone. You weren't meant to carry the disappointments that come into your family. You weren't meant to go through a divorce. You weren't meant to struggle with desires. You weren't meant to live life by yourself. You were meant to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. And he came, and he is a risen Savior for that reason. And if I were you today, and all the burdens of life are on you, all the cares are on you today, I would just come to an altar this morning, and I would kneel, and I would tell him that. I would say, I need you, Lord. I need you. It's too heavy for me. It hurts too bad. The pain is too much for me to carry. And I need you to walk with me. I think I could get through the valley of the shadow of death if you'd go with me. I think I could get through this if you'd go with me. But it's too heavy for me to carry. Listen to me. It's not too heavy for him to carry. And you may be a believer here today. And you're still carrying some things that you need to put on Jesus Christ and let him carry. I remember a woman, Hannah Smith, wrote a book. And she said, there's a man walking down a road, and he's got this heavy burden on him. And a guy in a wagon came by and offered him a ride. He jumped up in the wagon, and the man said, why don't you throw your burden in the back? The man said, no, it's too much to ask of you. You've already given me a ride. It's too much to ask you to carry my burden. And that's as foolish as you and I are. If you are a believer in Christ, he's a deliverer for you. He's a deliverer, and you need to give him your stuff because it's too heavy for you. Will you come today? Will you come to Jesus Christ? He is a resurrected Savior. The other ones are in the grave, but he lives today, and he lives to make intercession and carry the burdens of his people. You come today as we sing.